Today on Maine Calling, summer art exhibits in museums and public spaces. For some people, summer is beach or boating season. For others, summer is for gardening. And for art lovers, tis the season for road trips to Maine's many extraordinary museums, galleries, and public art spaces. I'm Jennifer Rooks. No, it is not too late to catch the summer art shows around the state. Today on Maine Calling, we will highlight some of what's on display in Maine. Curators spend years planning special exhibitions for locals and tourists alike. We'll hear from some of them today. And we'd love to hear your recommendations about art exhibits you've seen recently and why you love them. Art for everyone on Maine Calling today. That's just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Down East communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Summer in Maine is a great time to enjoy the wonderful variety of arts on display all over the state. Today, we will highlight some of the art exhibits and public art happening this season. Joining me for the hour, Amy Hausman, who is Executive Director of the Maine Arts Commission, and Megan Gray, Arts and Culture Reporter for the Portland Press-Herald. And of course, we invite you to join the conversation. Are you looking for ideas of exhibitions to check out this summer? Is there an artist you want to recommend? You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Amy and Megan, welcome to Maine Calling. And Amy, this is your first time on the program. You're relatively new as Maine Arts Commission Director. Welcome and congratulations. Tell me what this year has been like for you.
Well, it's been incredible. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I listen to Maine Calling, so I'm really thrilled to be able to be here. And great to be with Megan. So thank you so much for having me. This year has been incredible. I started at the Maine Arts Commission last August, and I have packed in so many things, working with an incredible staff at the Maine Arts Commission and with an incredible group of commissioners. We have the most remarkable, robust, and rich landscape and ecosystem of art and creative culture here in Maine, and I've had a wonderful time exploring it. I bought a new car in September, and I just crossed over 22,000 miles on that car traveling around the state of Maine, visiting every single corner that I can. I have seen lots of things, and there's lots of things I haven't seen, and I really look forward to being on the road and meeting people and seeing what's going on around this beautiful place we call Maine.
Okay, in just a minute, I'll ask you some of what you've seen this summer, but Megan, I want to turn to you. Even though you are arts and culture reporter now, I understand that you have had other beats in the past. What's it like being the arts reporter for a major paper in this state that so loves its arts?
It's incredible. I came to this beat a little bit by accident, covering politics and courts and municipal government, all kinds of things in the past. But this has truly been my most fun assignment in my time as a journalist. And the greatest problem is a good one to have, which is that there's so much happening that I cannot possibly get to it all and write about it all. But that's a good challenge to be wrestling with every day. But it's a beat that gets me away from my desk into artist studios and museums and parks and galleries and all kinds of places where art is happening. And it's a great way to write about everything because art is about everything.
Well, I'm going to start with you because you have a new article in today's paper. And what I love about this is even though we're going to be hearing from and talking about a lot of museums today, the show that you are highlighting in today's Portland Press Herald is not in a museum. It's in a library.
Yeah. Surf Point, in York, has, Put together a really wonderful show of Beverly Hallam's work as the first since she died in 2013. And someone described it to me as a little bit like a scavenger hunt through the library to find the work interspersed, among the stacks. And it's really fitting because it's a place that she was involved with. Someone else told me that. This detail isn't in the story because it came in a little too late, but said that one of the reasons there is, molding to hang art in the York Public Library is because Beverly was involved in helping design that space. So, really made to experience art in your community. And it's a great way to familiarize yourself with this wonderful artist if you don't know her.
And tell us, those of people in the audience who don't know about Beverly Hallam's work, tell us about it.
Well, Beverly's work was really expansive. She had a long career in Maine, and was really constantly experimenting. She was a printmaker and a painter. In the last years of her life, she was continuing to make art, and painting was a little hard on the body, so she was working in digital art. And this particular show explores the influence of photography, another important medium for Beverly, in all aspects of her career, where you see these really like exquisite moments with light and shadow, and the way that that is something that she revisited over decades. So, a really interesting thread throughout her career and a new interpretation. Many people might know that Beverly made these incredible, like detailed airbrush paintings, especially of flowers. And so this is a great way to learn a little bit about her and other types of work that she made. If all you know is her flower paintings, that's a great introduction, but it's not the only aspect of her work. So really an exciting way to meet this artist.
All right, well, Amy, it is summer art exhibit season. So, in those 22,000 miles you put on your car, what have you seen this summer and what do you want to recommend?
Well, I have to say, I think as a disclaimer that we love all of our artists, we love all of our arts organizations, all of the institutions. There is such a richness here in our state, and I think it's important really to think about what that richness means to our state. The arts and culture sector is a $2.5 billion sector in Maine. 2.7% of our GDP is from art and culture, and I think that's really important. It's more than agriculture, more than forestry, more than lobstering. Three industries that are so important to our state. Art and culture is a bigger contributor. And so when we think about how art impacts our economy, I think it's something really important. But we also think at the Maine Arts Commission about how it affects our well-being. So to be able to go out and look at all different kinds of shows is really a joy. And it's a joy for artists to be able to share their work. And I think I just want to be able to say that any things that Megan and I talk about today. We know that there are so many other places and so many other artists who are doing things. So I just want to say that right out at the beginning, and say it's not an exhaustive list. The other thing that I'll say is we have on our Maine Arts Commission website an events calendar, and people can register if they're an artist or if they're an arts organization or an institution. They can register for a free account, and they can put up their own listing of the events that they have coming up or their exhibition, so that it can share. We can share that out with more people. I know that Maine Public also has a really great culture calendar. So there are
Yes.
different ways that we can be able to find what's going on. So the first thing I'll say is that tonight is the 31st of July. Tomorrow is First Friday. So there are so many different First Friday events that are going to be happening across the state. And so lots of things that'll be fun to see. Portland comes to mind. Of course, Creative Portland offers a lot of great opportunities on their own website. Rockland has a First Friday event. There are lots of shows that are opening tonight and tomorrow. So I think I would love to talk a little bit about. I just was at the Portland Museum recently, and I saw the beautiful Painting Energy show that's up through September, and that is brought forward by the Alex Katz Foundation. A really beautiful kind of encyclopedic show of painting, which includes some of the art stars of Maine, including Lois Dodd and Faribault Porter, Rackstraw Jones, Marston Hartley, so many others that really celebrates the joy of painting. And I think in the summertime, it's so great to be able to see painting shows. And there are so many of them. Another highlight at the Portland Art Museum, of course, is a spotlight on Anne Craven. And I think we may talk more about her today because, of course, she has several shows up here in Maine right now. One is at the Portland Museum, and it's a beautiful installation of juicy, luscious, gorgeous work. Anne Craven is a New York artist, but also based here in Maine in Cushing, and is being celebrated with three different exhibitions of her work this season at the Portland Museum, at the Bowdoin College Art Museum, and at the Farnsworth. So it's really wonderful to be able to see her work and to see what she's doing. The other thing I'd like to highlight at the Portland Museum, of course, is their permanent installation. There's lots of special shows, but there are also really some wonderful shows at all of the museums we have. And the Passages in American Art exhibition at the Portland Museum, I think, is really wonderful. I used to work for several years at Olana, which is the home of Frederick Church, the artist Frederick Church, in the Hudson Valley in New York. And of course, one of his beautiful paintings is at the Portland Museum, and it's a painting of Millinocket from Millinocket Lake, a painting of Katahdin. And I love seeing that work with an interpretation by the Penobscot artist James Francis. There's a beautiful description of that painting from James Francis's perspective. So I love seeing that because I kind of it helps us to understand that the natural beauty of this place is what has drawn so many artists here, like Anne Craven, like Frederick Church, and so many others.
And for a very long time, that's right. Yeah, and we talked about Frederick Church just a couple of weeks ago when we did our program on Maine Light. So it's so fun to have you bring that up. Megan, speaking of artists who have shows in more than one museum, there's another, and one is tell us about the Nicole, is it Wittenberg show that's at the Algonquin Museum and also Center for Maine Contemporary Art. Interesting that both museums are highlighting her work. I saw the Algonquin show. It is really quite something.
Yeah, so the Algonquin show just came down, to make way for a show by the artist Gisela McDaniel, who's a really interesting portrait artist. But the show at the CMCA is still up, and it's just this really incredible series of like huge paintings, giant works. And Nicole is a really expressive, vivid artist. I walked into her studio before the show went up at the CMCA and saw these big giant paintings that are now installed there, and like they took my breath away. So Nicole is someone who has spent increasing amounts of time in Maine, just feeling the moment and trying to capture that on her canvases. So would really encourage folks to check out that show. I think that she also has a work up and a show that's in a gallery in Thomaston. The gallery Karma has a pop-up show there with lots of exciting works the show's called A Certain Form of Hell, and lots of names that you might recognize or folks that you might be meeting for the first time there, Nicole included. Others, Anne Craven's there, Catherine Bradford, Emily Stark Menig, Jeremy Frey, Jay Stern, some of these names that you might have seen in other places, but again, also new artists as well. So it's great to see Nicole has really put in this this time to get to know the state and to reflect that in her artwork. And so it's cool to see her work popping up in different places this summer.
Well, calling in now is Keiko Abbey, who is curator at Colby College's Museum of Art. Thanks so much for calling in, Keiko.
Keiko. Hi, Jennifer. It's so nice to speak with you. Thanks for having me.
I understand that at Colby, you embraced an unusual and collaborative process in curating your Bernard Langley show this summer. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a super fun project. Right now we have Love Your Langley, a community curate, on view in our Joan Digman Schmaltz Gallery of Art at the Paul J. Scheff Center. And it was a project where we opened up the curatorial process to our community. So in the lead up to the show, we invited members of the community to vote for their favorite Langley sculptures. We have 200 at Colby, and so we made a selection, and we had voting posters up at the Children's Discovery Museum, the South End Teen Center, Waterville Creates, Waterville Public Library, and across the Colby College campus. And over 700 people voted, and from the top picks, we now have 21 Langley sculptures on view.
How did it turn out? What can people expect when they go?
Well, you know what? I have to say that the community did a good job. We've really shown the range of Bernard Langley's work. We have both abstract sculptures and really fun animal whimsical sculptures. The smallest work in the show is just 3 inches high, and then we also have work that's over 8 feet tall. Birds, cats, all kinds.
All right. Well, while I have you on the phone, I have to ask you about the Gertrude Abercrombie show. That looks pretty surreal.
It is fantastic. This is the first really in-depth survey of Gertrude Abercrombie's career. She's a Chicago surrealist artist, sort of working from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And the show was co-organized with the Carnegie, and now it's opened up just earlier this month here at Colby. And it's really a fantastic opportunity to dive into her dreamlike, surreal landscapes and portraits.
Kiko, I think that Amy Hausman wanted to jump in. Amy?
Well, I just wanted to say I haven't had a chance to see the Gertrude Abercrombie yet, and I can't wait to see it. I did see the Bernard Langley, and it was magical and wonderful, and I want to congratulate you, Kiko, because I think it was extraordinary. It's so beautifully installed. I hope everyone will go. It just really brings a smile to your face. It's wonderful.
Thank you. His work, I feel like it really is. I mean, that was why I wanted to open up the project to the community, because people see his work all over. Like when you go to the Portland airport, like you'll see his sculpture there. It's in libraries and other museums. People might not know his name, but they definitely recognize the work. And it is so fun and whimsical. So thank you for seeing the show, and I hope others can see it as well.
Well, thank you so much. That was Kiko Abbey with the Colby College Museum of Art. And I'm so happy, Megan, that she mentioned the Portland Jetport, because that's an example of an unexpected place you can see art in Maine. And there are many of them. I want to ask you about some public sculpture in just a minute, but we do need to take a break. You can give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Whether you are an art aficionado or don't know much but love to learn, this is a great time of year to travel around Maine and see some of the exhibits and displays on view all over Maine. Maine Art. With me to give us an overview, Megan Gray, the Portland Press Herald's arts and culture reporter, and Amy Hausman, executive director of the Maine Arts Commission. We invite you to join the conversation. We'd love you to share some art that you have seen this summer that you think others would enjoy. Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Betsy Richards, who is executive director at the Abbey Museum in Bar Harbor. Thanks so much for giving us a call, Betsy.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Well, as we all know, July 4th, 2026 marks the 250th birthday of the United States of America. Already semi-quincentennial events are underway, and the Abbey Museum is marking it as well, but bringing an important perspective. Tell us what you are doing right now at the Abbey Museum to mark the 250th anniversary of the U.S.
Well, absolutely. And it's just delightful to be talking about art in Maine and about the semi-quincentennial, because our show, In the Shadow of the Eagle, that we'd love folks to come to, is a Wabanaki perspective on the semi-quincentennial. But more importantly, it is through, we felt, the really, there's some historic texts in there, but it's through the eyes of artists. And we have amazing artists like Maya Atien, Emma Hassan-Cole Perley, Marie Girard, James Francis, Fred Thoma, Geo Suctoma Neptune, a number of really, really impressive artists that are reflecting on, and with our curators, thinking about Wabanaki governance that pre-existed the formation of the United States, and the other things that thematically flow through a perspective on this moment that the United States is marking.
And Betsy, I understand so many of the summer shows here in Maine are going to be gone, if they're not already, very soon, but not this one. This is going to be on display for a while, correct?
Correct. We wanted it to be, so it's a two-year exhibition. It's on for this season and next, because that's the semi-quincentennial is next year. But we really wanted folks to engage in dialogue about this.
Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what it's like right now in Bar Harbor. How important are July and August for the Abbey Museum?
Oh, very important. I mean, this is the time that people are in town, and part of what we want to do is lift up the artistic excellence of Wabanaki and other Native artists, and really make them not only visible, but also to engage our audiences in dialogue, just so not only are they learning more, you know, things that they might not have found out about, but also are engaging with us.
Betsy, thanks so much for calling in. Betsy Richards with the Abbey Museum in Bar Harbor. Amy, go ahead.
I wanted to echo it. The In the Shadow of the Eagle show is not.
Oh, darn. It looks like we've lost Amy temporarily. Hopefully she'll come right back. Oh, there we go. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. There are two other shows at the Abbey Museum that are also really wonderful. One is by Jordan Bennett, and it's the 13 Moons Full Suite. It's this beautiful series of prints by Jordan Bennett, a Mi'kmaq artist. and I was really loved to see it because we were talking earlier about Anne Craven and her study of the moon. So there are actually four beautiful shows about the moon in the state of Maine right now, really worth visiting. There's also a small exhibition at the Abbey Museum that's the Wabanaki Student Art Exhibition, which is, I believe, is a show they do every year, a collaboration with Maine Indian Education Boys and Girls Clubs of Border Towns and the Abbey Museum, a really incredible variety of student work that I really loved and I thought was really wonderful to see as well. So take a trip to Bar Harbor. It's great things to see.
Well, speaking
I'll
of
also
Bar
shout
Harbor,
out that,
oh, yeah, go ahead, Megan. Sorry.
Ooh, I was just going to shout out that you can also see Jordan Bennett's work on the side of the Ogunquit Museum this year. He just created a commission for the museum, and his work is like so colorful and vibrant and inspired in particular by the traditions of porcupine quill work. And so that's like really a must see, that mural at the Ogunquit.
Wonderful.
I love that you brought that up, because in the show, the Jordan Bennett show at the museum, they actually have items, they have his prints, contemporary prints, but then married kind of in juxtaposition with historic quill work and contemporary quill work. So it's this really beautiful, beautiful installation by their curator, Aaron Miller. And I think it's a really wonderful thing to say. Betsy mentioned the artist Maya Atin, and she has a show up also at Space Gallery in Portland. So there's a wonderful show at Space called The Pencil of Nature, which is a photography exhibition. And Maya's in that show, along with Tad Beck and Elizabeth Atterbury, Neville Caulfield, and Shana Gates. I love that it is inspired. They said in their release, it's a nod to the first commercially published photo book where Henry Fox Talbot called it the medium of photography, photogenic drawing. And the idea of photogenic drawing, how do we capture nature? We were talking before about Frederick Church and some of the Hudson River schools and so many artists who have come up here. You know, right now we pull out our iPhone and we take a photo of the landscape that we see. But back then people were drawing and painting and making plein air paintings. And so this idea of photography, I think, is something really interesting. So Space Gallery down in Portland, Bar Harbor, so many things to see.
Well, speaking of Bar Harbor, Carl's calling in from MDI. I think this is Carl Little. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Hey, Jennifer. How are you doing?
I'm great. I understand you have even more to recommend.
Yes, and just want to say how great this show is. It's just wonderful to hear all of these about all of these shows, some of which I've seen. The Abbey Museum show is just remarkable, all the shows there. And the Gertrude Abercrombie is outstanding. But I did want to mention a few. There are two going on in Monson this summer. There's a show called Quarries, Muse, and Material, which features artists who have painted quarries in Maine, including Alan Bray, Lois Dodd, Nina Jerome, Tessa O'Brien, Sam Gelber, Colin Page, and on and on. And also includes some photos, vintage photos from the Penobscot Marine Museum. And then there's wonderful sculpture going on there at the same time. Five sculptors, Jesse Salisbury, Kazumi Hoshino, Mark Harrington, Tim Shea, and Celeste Roberge have installed monumental sculptures along Route 15 in Monson, and that's up for another year or so. And then I had two other shows, Birds and Art at the Gilley Museum. It's a show that they host every few years, a traveling show of just contemporary bird art. And then you mentioned unusual venues. I wanted to mention Paul Black, who is a beloved Impressionist painter from Portland. He's having a show at the St. Joseph's Hospital's The Gallery at 900 Broadway. That's on through the end of September. And then last but not least, my brother David is showing at the Double Door Gallery on Islesboro, and that show just went up, and that's on for another month or so.
Well, that's just wonderful, Carl. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing with you. And Megan, Carl mentioned along Route 15 in Monson, these monumental sculptures. And you've written a little bit about some of the new public art around Maine. Tell us about a couple places that you think people just can't miss.
Yeah, I would second the recommendation for that exhibition of sculpture in Monson. Those artists are all involved with the Skudik International Sculpture Symposium. A couple of those pieces were 13,000 pounds. Jesse Salisbury, one of the organizing artists, told me that the prompt was literally to just like build your dream piece, which is always so exciting to see what artists do with that kind of directive. And yeah, there's great synergy there with the show that Carl worked on in the gallery at Monson Arts. Someone told me that as they were hanging the show, they were surprised by like how colorful that is, given the theme of quarries. And down the street from there is a show at Gascoigne Gallery called Apex on the theme of mountains. So lots of cool sculpture and visual art connections there. But there's also a few other really exciting places to see new sculpture installations. There's obviously great sculpture parks at a lot of places in Maine, but I really loved this exhibition called One Less Traveled at mm-hmm. Longwoods Preserve in Cumberland. It's curated by Josh Ryman, who heads the sculpture program at Mecca. There's 23 artists there. It's on view for a couple years, free to visit. And it's just this like meandering path through the woods. And again, an incredible prompt for the artists. Josh told them to make something whimsical. And I think we all need a little whimsy right now in our lives. So it just has like this really magical feeling. You walk through the woods and you find these like, you know, there's like a fairy hanging in the trees. So, or a face like popping out of the ground. So would really recommend checking that out in Cumberland. And my wonderful colleague Jorge Arango wrote about another contemporary show at the Langley Art Preserve. So another place to see Bernard's work, but also Gina Seipel, hopefully I'm pronouncing her name correctly, installed these very cool geometric sculptures there in the woods. And last but not least, I will shout out the Maine Coastal Botanical Garden and Indigo Arts Alliance have this really special multi-year partnership that has, you know, resulted in a few public art commissions. And just recently, I think last weekend, they unveiled new works by the incredible artist Daniel Minter and the poet Arisa White. So another exciting way to see art there at the Botanical Gardens.
Thanks, Megan. And thank you, Carl, for starting this part of the conversation. On the line with us now is Anne Collins Goodyear, who is co-director of the Bowdoin College Museum of Art. Anne, thanks so much for calling in.
Good morning, Jennifer. It's so lovely to be with you. And I'm also happy to mention that I'm delighted to be joined by the artist Anne Craven, who happens to be in town today for a program this evening at the Bowdoin College Museum of Art featuring musical compositions responding to artworks on view in the museum, including works by Anne.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Welcome, Anne. You've already come up once in the program today. Congratulations on the multiple exhibits featuring your work right now.
Thank you, Jennifer. Wow, I'm really honored to be here and also to see the work again here at the Bowdoin College Museum of Art. Wow, one of my favorite museums in the world. Well,
I want to ask you, Anne, I understand the Bowdoin Museum has four exhibits that have to do with Maine. Tell me why this focus on Maine art right now this summer.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. You're absolutely right. We are fortunate enough to have four exhibitions on view this summer, and we are thinking about them under the umbrella moniker of East Northeast Charting Moments in Maine. And this has given us an opportunity to look at the work of four extraordinary artists working at different moments in the 20th and 21st century. We're thrilled to be featuring the work of the photographer Gordon Parks, who was here in Maine in 1944, both in the winter and the summer months. As well as the photographer John McKee, who was a Bowdoin faculty member and in the summer of 1965, 60 years ago, shot an amazing body of work to which he gave the title As Maine Goes. That really proved to be an important contributor to the environmental movement, inspired by Rachel Carson and helping to pave the way for the Clean Water Act that Senator Muskie from Maine introduced into Congress. And then finally, we also are featuring films by Rudy Burkhart, made in the 1960s and 70s while he was here with his family. As you know, he and his family, his son Tom and daughter-in-law Kathy, in fact, continue to be in Searsmont to this day. And then finally, of course, we're thrilled to be one of three museums presenting Anne Craven's work. Our exhibition, Painted Time, Moon's Laboratory, specifically focuses in on her depictions of the moon, which are spectacularly beautiful to look at and really raise some beautiful questions about the role of cycles and transition in our own human lives.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for calling in. And I really appreciate both Anne's, Anne Goodyear and Anne Craven, calling in from the Bowdoin College Museum of Art. And congratulations to you, Anne Craven, for quite a summer here in Maine. We're going to move on. We're going to go to Cordelia, who's calling from Norway. Hi, Cordelia. Go ahead. Cordelia, you're still there? Oh, darn. And she's been waiting so long for that call. Let's see. We will go to C.E. calling from Cumberland. Hi, C.E. Go ahead.
Well, hello. How are you today?
Great.
Great. I am distributing. I'm helping Anthony Anderson distribute the Maine Gallery and Studio Guide. It's the 25th anniversary of this guide. It's a free guide, and it's available at most galleries and at a lot of studios. And it's a terrific resource for both artists and collectors.
Oh, thanks for telling us about that. And you say it's been revised. I suspect that has to be revised pretty often.
Oh, it comes out new every year, and this is the 25th anniversary.
As you're talking, and Amy Hausman is holding up her her copy of it, CE. So go to any gallery, and you can pick this up for free.
That's right. And you can go to the maingalleryguide.com, and there's also a section there in the menu, which is the Café des Artistes, and that has all the current shows, or most all of them, that people
Wonderful.
Have let Anthony know about, and he will post those. But it's a great resource.
Maine Gallery Guide, did you say .com?
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Let's see. We will go to Tammy calling from Southwest Harbor. Hi, Tammy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much. The timing of your program is perfect. I am here at the Wendell Gilley Museum in Southwest Harbor, where our summer exhibition, Birds and Art, which Carl Little mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, will be ending on August 9th. If you are not familiar with that exhibition, it is juried by the Lee Yockey Woodson Museum, which is in Wisconsin. And we have 60 works of art, which includes painting, sculpture, works on paper, and mixed media pieces created by the top wildlife artists of today. All of the work is contemporary. In order to be part of Birds and Art, they have to be pieces that have been created within the last 3 years. And it's a very exciting and inspiring exhibition. As I mentioned, that exhibit will be ending August 9th, and then we will be doing a quick turnaround and opening our new exhibit which is called Memory Flies Home on August 12th. And that artist is an artist that grew up here on MDI. Her name's Sarah Matthewson, and she now lives in England. Her work is just these amazing fabric pieces. They're featuring embroidery, and the embroidery in her pieces look just like bird feathers. It's really exquisite.
So interesting. Embroidery. Neat.
Yeah.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for calling in. Tammy calling from the Wendell Gilley Museum in Southwest Harbor. We do have to go to a quick break. We're going to talk more art when we come back. This is Maine Calling. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're learning about the wide range of art available to see across the state right now. And it is not too late to see some of the special exhibitions going on and public art, too. Joining me, Amy Hausman with the Maine Arts Commission and Megan Gray with the Portland Press Herald. If you're quick, you might be able to squeeze in a question. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org or call 1-800-399-3566. Quickly, I'll go to this email from Nikki. Nikki writes, Caravan Artist Market is a highly curated artisan market popping up at Historic Bath's beautiful waterfront park on September 28th at 11 to 4. 40-plus talented vendors, food trucks, and live music. So, Nikki, thank you so much. And, of course, that's almost an entirely different show, some of the amazing art markets popping up, not just First Fridays, but in city parks all across the state. Calling in now, Jamie DeSimone, who is chief curator at the Farnsworth Art Museum. Thanks so much for calling in, Jamie.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thanks for having us.
You know, we want to mention that you are one of the three museums exhibiting the work of Ann Craven. We just heard from Ann. I think you probably heard that. But I wanted to ask you what it's like participating in a collaboration with other museums in Maine to, really highlight one artist's work.
I think it's been a wonderful sharing of ideas and collaboration throughout the state of Maine, where we can all invest and celebrate an artist like Anne and come together in the spirit of collaboration. So it's been a really fun, I would say, year and a half of planning and finally a summer of celebration to present these projects and think about traveling around the state around moments of connectivity for Anne. So it's been, I think, quite wonderful and so far well received.
All right. Well, you are calling, of course, from Rockland, and between the Farnsworth, the Maine Center for Contemporary Art, and several fantastic galleries, Rockland has become quite the art hub. And I'm wondering, are you hearing from people at the museum that they have come to Rockland specifically for art?
Oh, well, you know, there's this wonderful slogan we have here in Rockland that it's the arts capital of Maine. So we do hear all the time that people are passing through to see and visit many arts destinations here in Rockland, and we are very happy to welcome people. And we're, at this time of year, open 7 days a week, which is a really exciting time for us.
Oh, that's great. And in addition to the Ann Craven show, what would you like to highlight at the Farnsworth this summer?
Well, we have two shows that close in early fall, so I'd love to make sure people come and see them before they do. And one is by the painter Anne Buckwalter. Her exhibition, Manners, showcases how she's exploring femininity and sexuality within domestic spaces. And the other, a very special moment for us, is we are featuring Andrew Wyeth in Chatsford, Pennsylvania. So a new project for us is showing, instead of his Maine subjects, his Pennsylvania subjects. So how can we think about house portraiture in Pennsylvania and giving an opposite look of one of the places he studied for decades?
Well, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you. That's Jamie DeSimone with the Farnsworth Art Museum. Megan, we've been talking about collaboration a lot this hour, and you have another collaboration you want to let us know about.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about the Bowdoin College Museum of Art. Earlier this year, Bowdoin collaborated with the Monhegan Museum of Art and History. There was a really cool exhibition that started at Bowdoin and has now, for the summer, moved to the island. About how, you know, this long tradition of artists on Monhegan have really created this like ecological record of the island, showing us how the island's ecology has changed over time. And I'm excited to get out there, hopefully in August, because they're doing these Monday through Friday ecology walks every day that start in the gallery and go out like onto the trails and the wildlands, like really bringing the relationship between the art and the natural environment of the island to light. So that's definitely something to catch before it's gone.
All right, we're gonna go back to Cordelia from Norway. Cordelia, I'm so sorry we weren't able to go to you before. Are you there now?
Hi, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, excellent. Well, I am an AmeriCorvista currently serving at Lights Out Gallery, and my charge is economic development. So one of the ways that I'm doing that is I am bringing the Norway Maine Arts Festival to life on September 13th. This festival has been running since the 1960s, and it is an awesome way to show off the wide breadth of art in Maine through visual arts, but also through a farmer's market and live art demonstrations. We have people participating in it who are 16 years old and bike to the dump to get their paint, to people part of the Maine Craft Association who have been fine artists for many years. So I just wanted to talk about that and the work that Lights Out Gallery does all over the state, which you can find more information about that online. And we have shows in Portland and Waterford and Waterville that you can all check out.
Amy, you know, Cordelia, stay with us a little bit. And Amy, you know about Lights Out Gallery and the Waterville show, right?
Yeah, the Waterville show is at Waterville Creates at the Taconic Gallery. It's called Dark the Night and Bright the Stars. It's a beautiful group exhibition that was a long time coming. Lights Out put together a really gorgeous exhibition of a range of different artists, including Gabriel Fry, Raphael Gribitz, Sarah Haskell, Daniel Minter, David Lone Bear, Santa Pass, Avis Turner, and Mariah Wolf. And it studies kind of the concept of exploring the theme of ancestry and different kinds of practice. A really beautiful show. The Maine Arts Commission is happy to be able to provide funding to Waterville Creates through a new Creative Communities grant. So we are really thrilled about that, but it's definitely a not to miss show. And I believe it's up, Cordelia, I think it's up through the October 12th.
Great. And Cordelia, Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's up through October 12th and closed on Tuesdays and federal holidays.
Okay. I'm just so curious. You're doing this, organizing the Norway Maine Arts Festival as part of an AmeriCorps volunteer. As AmeriCorps volunteer, you know, we just heard from the curator at the Farnsworth, Jamie DeSimone. I don't know. I apologize, Jamie, why I'm having such a hard time with your name. But she's the chief curator there. She said she works on shows for at least a year and a half. And you haven't had that kind of time, have you?
Well, I started working on this probably around last September. So I'm doing this in a year. And luckily, this festival has been running a long time, that there's actually a very beautiful community in Norway that has a lot of investment in this project. So it's not like I'm starting from scratch. It's more that I'm picking up this torch and providing the ability to invest all of this time. Previous organizers have been volunteers, and I am really lucky to have this position where I can spend all my time organizing and talking to artists and talking to musicians and partnering with local organizations to make sure that like everyone is included. And it's really exciting to be part of this process. And I think what Amy was talking about of the industry, arts industry, is really important in Maine, and that comes through in big museums, but it also comes through by supporting local artists that going to markets and seeing what art they create, because there's so much breadth of art that it's in their little nooks and crannies, and you don't realize what's out there in Maine until you go to these smaller events sometimes. So I really recommend going to these events and investing yourself in the local communities as well.
Cordelia, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your enthusiasm and information about the Norway Arts Festival. Amy, you know, we started the program talking about a show in York at the library. And so I want to take us to the other end of Maine. What's going on in Aroostook County?
So there's a lot of stuff in Penobscot and Aroostook County. And I think one of the things I'd love to highlight in Penobscot is actually at Katahdin Woods and Waters, of course, is the Dagagabimuk Contact Station, which is part of the National Park Service. It was funded through the Elliottsville Foundation, along with Katahdin Woods and Waters, and a partnership with the Wabanaki cultural bearers. And so the building itself, I think, is one of the highlights of architecture in Maine. To be able to see this beautiful building filled with a story about the landscape, and so many artists, Wabanaki artists, including James Francis and Jennifer Neptune and Sarah Sakobison and Tim Shea, Gabriel Fry, Geo Neptune, remark a whole list of incredible artists. It is a place to visit. It's in Patton. I would recommend that people get on up there. They're open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And the experience of being able to really see the intersection between art and culture and nature, which has been happening here for thousands and thousands of years through the really rich Wabanaki culture. I think it really stands, it stands as a testament to the incredible beauty of this place. So I'd really recommend people go up and visit that. There is also, of course, in Millinocket, there's the Boreal Theater. They have a little tiny art show up right now, which is wonderful to see. And so I think that that's a fun show to be able to visit. And I would also say out in Machias, there is a new Machias Art Center that opened in June. They're participating in the First Friday Art Walk this week. And up in Eastport, of course, the Tides Institute and Museum of Art. They have, I think tonight is the 31st, they have their opening reception for the Wabanaki Modern Show, which looks really, really interesting. It celebrates the Mi'kmaq Indian Craftsman Collection, or Collective rather, that was active in the 1960s, and some really interesting work and a really wonderful film as part of that. So that is something to visit when you are in Eastport. They also at Eastport host artists in residence, and there are several artist studios that are open.
Wonderful. We'll go to Amy calling from Portland. Hi, Amy, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
I have a show opening tomorrow night at the Steelhouse at Rockland, and it's called Accidental Renaissance. And it's 8 nearly life-size black and white portraits. And it's called Accidental Renaissance because of the chiaroscuro feel to all the images that I took. And I tried to represent the people I was photographing the way I really saw them in their most quiet, sort of inward-looking moments. And I also decided to include a self-portrait from each person. So next to the image that's going to be up on the wall that I did is an image of them. And so there are several adults and a couple kids. And it's really fun for me as a portrait photographer to see how other people see themselves.
That's a really neat idea. Amy, we're tight on time, so I'm just going to ask you quickly, what's your last name and repeat the name of the gallery, please?
You bet. It's Amy Wilton, and it's the Steelhouse in Rockland, Maine.
Thanks so much for calling in and telling us about that. And we'll go quickly to Christine calling from Reedfield. Hi, Christine. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love that you're doing this about Maine art. I want to highlight a show that's opening tomorrow at the Maine Museum of Photographic Arts on Middle Street in Portland, down by McCoochie's. And it has 23 women artists in it who do various, from contemporary to antique processes with photography and prints. And the opening is going to be fun. It's going to have groups of wines by women vintners and the Ideal Maine Social Aid and Sanctuary Band. And the opening's from 5 to 8 tomorrow. The show runs through September the 27th.
Well, Christine, thanks so much for calling in, and good luck with your opening tomorrow night. Okay, Megan, we have a minute left in the program, and now I'm sort of really feeling for you, trying to choose what to write about in the Portland Press Herald every week.
Yeah, now you feel my pain, but it's a great problem to have. And I think maybe the note that I would leave folks with is just to know that you can find art in all kinds of spaces all across the state. That might be galleries, that might be museums. There's lots of free opportunities to see art. We talked about some of the college museums, but Bates College and UNE, also have galleries that do really exciting work.
University
even
of Maine.
The University of Maine, of course, yeah. And you know, the
USM,
there's a little gallery at the Wells Reserve that's showing some work about coastal ecology this summer. There's public library shows. There's galleries of all kinds. Notch 8 Gallery in Portland is showing work about freight graffiti, and then you've got like Page Gallery in Camden, a show that I really want to see, you know, again, about like themes of wildness and, you know, landscapes of Maine. That's really cool. So it's so hard to fit. It's
yes,
impossible
and
to
unfortunately,
fit the rest
we're
of
out of
here.
Time. I have to thank both of you for joining us today. That's Megan Gray with the Portland Press Herald. She's their arts and culture reporter. Also with us, Amy Hausman, executive director of the Maine Arts Commission. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Special thanks to Sam Tracy for helping out with today's program. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. And tomorrow on the program, we are going to listen back to our show about jellyfish. It was a good one. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.